Hi, it's Tim Dre, president of the Illinois AFL-CIO. Thank you for listening to The Worker's Mic, supported by the Illinois AFL-CIO, fighting every day for working families. Visit ilafl-cio.org today. Enjoy the show, and remember, it's better in a union.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN. We are powered by the National Coalition of Labor. I'm Ed Maher with the National Coalition of Labor, and with me is Phil Davidson from the Mid-America Carpenters Regional Council. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning, Ed.
Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday to you.
Yeah, it's a beautiful Sunday. We're not joined in the studio today by Ken. Ken has been traveling. He's out of town, talking to a whole bunch of unions this weekend about the National Coalition of Labor. We salute you, Ken. We miss you in the
studio.
He's working on Sunday.
So we can't press the golf button?
Ken doesn't play golf.
Yeah, he's not coordinated.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that. You can say that. I've seen him fish, and he's actually not very coordinated with fishing either. We have a good show for you here today. We are going to be talking to Carl Coker. He'll be in the studio from Coker Insurance Group. And that is to talk about the open enrollment, which has begun for union members in the coalition to buy life insurance and AD&D insurance. So he'll talk a little bit more about it. And it really is like the best life insurance product that I've ever seen.
You can't beat it.
You really can't. So stick around. He'll be in the next segment. But, it was a busy week. There's a lot going on, outside of the Louvre getting robbed and the part of the White House getting torn down by non-union construction, I might add.
Is that confirmed?
Yeah, I saw it from the Laborers International Union out of Washington. They had said that the demolition crew was not union. Womp womp. So, well, whatever. That's a whole different story.
DC's never been a strong union town.
Surprisingly not.
No.
And you'd think that it would be, but surprisingly it isn't. But
because there's a lot of general contractors that are signatory in Chicago and sure. Illinois, but then they go to D.C. and they're like, well, no one's going to hold our feet to the fire.
100%. A lot of the largest developers here in Chicago, you go down to Kentucky and you see them working, and you're like, oh, this is being done union.
Nah.
Not so fast.
Nah.
And I shouldn't say Kentucky, but like just other places in the country.
Anywhere.
They did make that part of the building disappear pretty fast. You know, apparently they didn't know they were going to do it.
How long was the East Wing up for? Like 130 years?
Something like that.
Yeah, gone.
No more. We need something more bigger and more beautiful. I got to say, this week I saw something that made me really happy. And I don't know if you have been following this, but I don't really watch a lot of NBA basketball. But I saw an announcement a little while back that NBA on NBC was bringing back Michael Jordan.
He's back, man.
And I saw it, and I'm just like, Michael Jordan is one of those, like, to me at least, growing up as a kid in Chicago, he's like a mythical being. It's like seeing a unicorn. And when he goes on TV,
he transcends sport.
Yeah, and you see him in, like, anything he says, it seems like you want to hear it, because he doesn't do a lot of media anymore. He lives a pretty private life. But there were some clips from his first segment where he's talking about the fact that he hasn't picked up a basketball in, like, 10 years or whatever. And he had to shoot a free throw for some kids, and he didn't know if he was going to make it, and he was nervous. But I got to say, watching Michael Jordan, it just made me realize, the thought that went through my head was, he could probably talk about anything, and I would agree. Like, if Michael Jordan sat down with, Ahmad Rashad or whatever and said, we've all got to bow down to the great leader Xi Jinping, I'd probably be sitting there like, that's what we got to do.
Michael said it. Yes.
I never thought of it. That's what we're going to do. If Michael Jordan says it, that's what we're going to do. So, it was cool to see him back on TV as a Chicago sports fan.
So he's going to be doing just color commentary during games.
I think he's doing like an interview segment.
Okay.
It's called like Insights to Greatness.
Okay.
It's going to be like,
I guess my one thing would be with that is though, like, do the world's richest athletes, including Michael and Tom Brady, like, need to still be doing commentary when there's other people who could maybe use the money a little more than them?
I don't care what anybody has to say if their name's not Michael Jordan about basketball. You could bring in anybody, the most knowledgeable basketball people around. I don't want to hear it. I want to hear from Michael.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's just, like 10-year-old Ed wearing his Bulls jersey talking right there.
Interesting timing that he's being brought in after another gambling scandal in the NBA.
You wouldn't be suggesting. I've heard the man likes to gamble a little bit.
I saw something funny on social media. It was a picture of him in his White Sox jersey. It said, "This is how the NBA used to handle gambling."
That's pretty funny. But it's cool to see him back. I mean, I don't know. I've always heard some sort of not so flattering stories about Michael when people meet him. Sounds like he's had about enough of being a super famous guy and doesn't really want to be.
Understandably so.
I get it. I mean, when you're at that level of fame and you just want to go get a hot dog, you can't really do it. So
yes.
But he doesn't push me back at all.
The most famous individuals who have ever walked the earth.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for good reason.
Yeah.
He's the greatest. But anyway, we'll get back to that. We probably won't get back to that, but we have a lot of other important things to get
to.
We'll
see how it goes.
Yeah. But after the break, we'll be back here with Carl Coker from Coker Insurance. And then we'll get into some of the labor things going around the world and the nation this week. So stay with us. We'll be right back with you here on the Workers Mic 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Worker's Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everybody, to The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. Ed, Phil, and we are joined in the studio by a longtime friend of the show and a guest we're really excited to have, and that's Carl Coker. And Carl is the president of Coker Insurance Group. They run the life insurance program for members of the National Coalition of Labor. So welcome to the show, Carl.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. So for all of the members of the coalition, all these union members who are active, the unions purchase life insurance for them. And then they have the opportunity to purchase life insurance on top of that for themselves. And Carl, your organization handles all that.
Yeah, that's right. So many years ago, probably 7 or 8 years ago now, the program started where individual unions sign up to be members of the NCL. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, they provide a base amount of life insurance for every member.
Right.
$10,000, $20,000, sometimes it's higher. What that does is that gives that individual member access to buy more on their own dollar up to now. I mean, when we started, I think it was $200,000 or $150,000.
I think that's right.
And now we're at $400,000 this year, which is an exceptionally good amount for zero health questions.
And that's an amazing thing, because the reason that health insurance or life insurance became such an important part in the start of the coalition is because folks who work in construction, you know, I joke with people that if you're 40 and you work in construction, you no longer qualify for life insurance. You'll get turned down because of the kind of work that you do. But not only through this program do you get life insurance through the union, but you can buy more without answering any questions.
That's exactly right.
No exams, no nothing.
Anyone that's ever tried to buy life insurance knows the pitfalls of that. It's not even what you do for a living. It's what you do on your daily day, right? It's what you do on the weekends. It's whether you smoke, whether you drink, whether you're eating too much or high blood pressure or whatever. All of those things can take away the opportunity to buy life insurance or dramatically change the price to the negative. And for our program, as you said, everybody that signs up that's actively available for work can get this amount of life insurance, the maximum, for zero health questions or tests of any kind. And if you signed up, for instance, this week, effective December 1st, your life insurance would kick in. Your premium would come out of your own bank account the first week of the month, every month. And then any week that you wake up and you say, I'm spending a little bit too much for life insurance, you just call my office and we'll move that limit down.
Yeah.
Or next open enrollment, you can increase it. So it's a really flexible, great way. And the benefits we've paid are extensive over the last 5 to 7 years.
Yeah, I mean, we take the phone calls when you know, a spouse calls and they've lost their, you know, their husband or, you know, whoever had the policy, and they're just looking for some assistance. We give them the number, connect them with you, and usually within, you know, a week and a half, something like that, they've got a check in their hand. So
they do. We work really fast now. From the time we make contact with the beneficiary to the time that they have the money, it's less than 2 weeks usually.
And it all works out of Chicago. You know, if you call, it's the office in Chicago. You're talking to people located right around here.
That's right. We're all in the loop. My office is in the loop, and my staff makes first contact with beneficiaries. Mm-hmm. And once we get everything in line for them, they have to execute a few signatures for the benefit, and then we upload it to the carrier. And within days, the check comes right out and right to the family.
It's really funny, because when the coalition started and You know, the ask went around to different insurance companies and carriers. You know, we want to provide life insurance for construction workers with no medical exams, no questions. The insurance companies just thought this idea was crazy.
Yeah, they left you out of the room, right?
Right, and many of them just didn't bid, or the bids were astronomical. And Voya Insurance, who ultimately, you know, took a chance on us, they saw that there was a need here with all these folks that couldn't get life insurance anywhere else. So they got in the game. And today the result is our life insurance, which requires no questions, no medical exams, the pricing is lower than other policies where you have to add, you know, go see a doctor and answer 50 questions about your health. So, I mean, the program, the idea is working.
Yeah. It's helping families. Is that a reflection that there's just that utilization is up, that you are, that you were able to increase the limits this year?
And that's, I mean, exactly,
obviously,
what it is, yeah.
The coalition is growing as well. So,
right.
But yeah, is that,
so there's a pool. There's
yeah.
a pool of members. Insurance is just a pooling mechanism, right?
Right. Yeah.
So the idea that we have now 350 or 300,000 plus members that have access to this. Not all 300,000 buy additional life insurance, but they're available to do so. The pool has become larger, which means the claim activity can be absorbed a little bit better. When we first started, it was a headache to talk to anybody about, hey, do you want to work with 80,000 people? And what happens, everyone knows, when they buy life insurance, usually the people that want to buy it the first day are the ones that need it. And we are now in this program for 7 years. The word is out there that it exists, and it's doing great work for our members. We have success stories, if that's such a thing in life insurance, where the success being saving families and saving families' tuition payments, saving their car payments. And we have a lot of those success stories that are really helping to embolden the program to be bought by more people and known by more people. So the risk keeps going down. When the pool gets larger, the rates get cheaper, and we're continuously working with Voya, and they've been a great partner.
Yeah.
To get those rates even couple cents lower, or even 10 cents lower, is a huge value for our members. That's what we're here for.
Yeah. I mean, it's your point, as the group of people gets larger and larger, we're able to offer benefits. And this is the whole idea of the National Coalition of Labor, is more people, more benefits, drive down the cost. And clearly it's working, because this product, which was deemed risky by other insurance companies, is so successful that the rates are cheaper than, you know, those more cautious companies.
Yeah. I think we've had 2 rate reductions in the last 5 years, which is sort of unheard of.
Right.
Because the risk is somewhat the same, right? People buy it and then they pass away. And it's not necessarily the most pleasant thing in the world to sell, but the idea being it's really helping people. And the bigger we get, the more we can help people at a less cheaper price.
Well, you said, I mean, you don't know if you can call it a success story, but I mean, the whole point of life insurance, I mean, when I buy life insurance, the idea is if I can't be around to, you know, buy the kids new shoes in a year or something, there'll be money there for them. And,
right.
you know, the kids won't be out on the street. Your family won't be left destitute. So it's the idea of life insurance. So it is a success story.
Yeah, and I guess one point I'd make to the membership that doesn't know enough about this yet is when you buy life insurance on the street as an individual, you have to take that paperwork and you have to put it in a safe place, and then you have to alert your family members that when the time comes to pay this, you have to go find it.
Right.
And then you have to prove to the life insurance company that you had it. And if you can't find that paperwork, they'll never pay. So there's always a 10%, 15% override for the life insurance carriers, right? And we, everybody that we're told that passes away, we run them down and pay. We'd never not pay.
Right.
So we hold the paperwork. You don't have to hold the paperwork. We'll find your spouse.
For sure. And unions will often, when you know, when they get notification that one of their members has passed, they call you. And sometimes you have spouses and families who receive a benefit that they didn't even know was coming.
That's right. It happens a lot. And so we get people on the phone that are very emotional, that they didn't know that their husband or wife bought $300,000 of life insurance. They didn't know how they pay the bills. And now they have that ease in their life that someone was looking out for them.
Yeah, we take a lot of pride in this program and offering this program because you do such a good job, and
your
folks do such a good job. I mean, it's everything that, you know, people might have an idea or a stereotype of insurance companies as, you know, doing everything they can to not pay out, and that you all are the exact opposite.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys are the ultimate example of an insurance company that's run the way, you know, people would want it to be.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you all, everyone that's listening knows this. You're in an industry that is very committed to the membership. And it took us years to convey that to the insurance carrier, to let them know that we're going to do whatever it takes for the membership. And that means rates, and that means paying claims very fast, and we're not going to take this lightly.
Right.
And so they know that. They know that when we call, they jump, and things move fast.
Yeah, well, how long does it take for the big carriers to pay out a claim
A week, months. I mean, it might take a month or more. You have to prove you have it. Yeah. Then they're going to look into what you died of to make sure you didn't lie on the application, which is what we're talking about, right?
Right.
Yep. A lot of people buy this insurance and they had cancer, but they're in remission. You can buy it in remission with us and you'll get it. But if you check that wrong box on the other way, then they're going to get you and they're not going to pay the claim. So.
Yeah.
And you can carry with us up to 75, right?
Yeah. So you have to be active to buy the supplemental insurance. Whatever the union provides, that base amount, which varies from union to union, that ends when the member retires.
Yep.
But if you buy supplemental insurance during one of these open enrollment periods, you can carry that coverage with you until age 75. And then it expires just like a like a term program.
But so, I think most terms are earlier than 75, right?
Yeah, they're 30 years long.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if you bought it when you're 25, it's gone by 55. So.
Right. And if you're trying to buy life insurance when you're 70, you know, back up the Brinks truck. Like everything, it gets more expensive. But so right now, there is this open enrollment period. And if you are a member, a union member who's active still of the National Coalition of Labor or any of our affiliate unions, you would go to nclenrollment.com to sign up for this. The limits they used to, I think last year it was 350 was the most you could buy for yourself for life or accidental death and dismemberment. You could buy 30,000 for your spouse. Now those limits have gone to 400
That's right.
For yourself or 100 for your spouse. So
that's right.
I always give people the advice that if you're going to take out a big life insurance policy on your spouse, just tell her up ahead of time, because if she finds out you have one and you didn't tell her, it's, you know, it doesn't work out well. You might have to use our legal
services. Watch your back.
Yeah, exactly. But so nclenrollment.com is where you can go to sign up for this. It goes through the end of December. It's available for active members right now. And when folks go to that website, Carl, what will they, you know, what's the experience? What are they, you know, is it, you just go on, you fill out the application online?
Yeah, it's very easy to use. It's very simple. There's prompts to take you to the life insurance or to the enrollment site. There's a big enroll now button on it. And when you hit that button, you'll choose your union on a drop down menu. And then you'll just fill out the fields. The fields are very simple. It takes maybe 10 minutes max. When you get into that site, if you have any problems, you're going to call the 888 number on that site, and it's going to ring people in my office.
Yeah.
And we're going to help you walk through it if you need that help. If you're on the job site, which sounds weird, but some people do call us at odd hours of the day. If you're on the job site, we can walk you through the website. You don't even have to be looking at it. We'll go screen by screen with you and help you enroll.
Okay.
The only thing you'll need, and we just tell everyone this, is you'll need some type of bank account information to put in that enrollment site to finish off the process, because the payment comes out of your checking account the 5th of every month when it starts.
And I mean, it's better to do it that way than link it to a debit card where it expires every 3 years, because the last thing you want is your life insurance policy to go inactive because you're, you know, you got a new credit card, debit card,
that's
whatever.
That's right. And so just so the people out there know that we have the back end of this taken care of, not only with the claims, but the idea that your credit card changes or your bank account information doesn't get run through, we will call you.
Mm-hmm.
We will find you, because the goal is to make sure every member that wants it, that has signed up for it, gets it paid when that time comes.
Yeah.
So I mean, we're not going to let your payments lapse or your checking account change. And so we've got a pretty good handle on it.
Yeah. I mean, you've seen with working with all these different unions how important it is to them to ensure that their members are protected. And so you guys have always gone the extra mile to make sure that people who want coverage, that their coverage doesn't lapse for some accidental reason or whatever. But so you have life insurance that you can enroll in, and what other kinds of insurance?
There's accidental death and dismemberment, which is a double benefit for life insurance if you get in an accident, like a car accident. So if you bought 400 life, the accidental death is a percentage of that, a much smaller percentage of that. But if you get in a car accident, for instance, it'll pay $800,000 for the total, which is an extreme amount of money. Mm. There's also critical illness, an offering in there, which is insurance. If, for instance, you get cancer, and it'll pay up to $20,000 to pay bills and specific expenses that you incur by getting that.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's also accident insurance, which is something as simple as breaking your leg. It'll pay a small benefit depending on what type of claim you have. All of that is laid out on the website as to what the coverage is paid. And once again, you can tailor what you buy with your budget. If your budget only allows you to buy $50,000 of life insurance this year, that's what you can buy, and it'll show you exactly what that cost is when you do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you're a union member with the National Coalition of Labor, you can go in and nclenrollment.com, check it out. And if you're a union member who's not a part of the National Coalition of Labor, reach out to your union leader and ask them why you're not a part of the coalition, because things like this, insurance for, you know, building trades employees without any questions. I would challenge anyone to try to find it because I haven't been able to, and I've looked.
That's or if right. it's weight and gold.
Yeah, it is. So it is. NCL enrollment, and it's open until the end of December. So check it out. And Carl, thank you so much for coming in. Thank we you appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you.
And we'll be
much.
Back with more Workers' Mike right after this.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Workers' Mike. More show to come. Sponsored by Hinge Health. Hinge Health specializes in personalized digital exercise therapy designed for hardworking people, just like you. It's pain relief without waiting rooms and costly medications. Visit hingehealth.com today. Now, back to the show.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. Ed Maher, we're here with Phil Davidson, and we were just joined in the previous segment by Carl Coker. If you missed that, he was talking open enrollment. Check him out at nclenrollment.com if you're a union member in the National Coalition of Labor. So there was a lot going on this week, Phil.
Yes.
And I want to start with something that I think is pretty interesting. We've touched on this maybe a little bit in the past, but you've probably seen that Elon Musk, the, I don't know what, chairman of Tesla, he has not been paid for his work at Tesla over all the years, and he is now looking for a $1 trillion pay package from Tesla. And the board is meeting, I want to say, the first week of November to decide whether to do this.
It's literally $1 trillion.
$1 trillion, which would be paid out to him over 10 years at $100 billion per year.
And that's stock options? Everything?
I don't know. Okay. I know part of it is his ownership in Tesla would increase. He'd have more stock, but it would just be a payout of $1 trillion over 10 years. So the board apparently is on board with this, no pun intended, but they... what's happening now, and I think this is interesting.
Like, are all his children on the board? Like, who is this board?
I don't know. I mean, Tesla, like, they've done a lot of big things. Yeah. I don't take away from the fact that, like, Tesla was a juggernaut. It seems like it's got a lot of competition now, but it was pretty innovative and whatnot. But $1 trillion.
$1 trillion.
You know, there's a lot of people doing a lot of great things, like great chefs who live, you know, in poverty. And I can't imagine $1 trillion is a reasonable compensation
anyone. No human being should have $1 trillion.
I think you're right about that. But it's crazy. It's a big number.
It's a threat to all of humanity if one person has $1 trillion.
So what's happening now, and I think this goes into the kind of collective action that we talk about on behalf of workers and unions that we talk about on this show, is that a bunch of unions who manage multi-billion dollar pension funds, whose pension dollars are invested in Tesla, are...
And other public companies, yeah.
Yeah, they're pushing their pension funds to oppose this pay package. So they're trying to rally people up and get people to say $1 trillion is too much. And, you know, there's a number of things at play here, I think, but if you have if union workers' money is invested in a company that's headed by a guy who just spent, you know, 100 days or whatever in the White House taking the axe to government employees, calling, you know, government employees wasteful and needless and useless, and before that, as the head of SpaceX, challenged the NLRB and basically, you know, wrote the roadmap to eliminate worker protections in America.
All while receiving billions of dollars in government subsidies for his companies.
There's no question about it. But the fact that investors in his company are those very same workers and their retirements who he's trying to get rid of, those unions are stepping up and saying, we have a dog in this fight, and we don't think this guy should get paid $1 trillion.
No.
I don't think it's a terribly unreasonable position to take.
No.
You know, don't pay him $1 trillion. We're your shareholders. We don't think it's reasonable. And, you know, we're going to push back on a guy that just basically put his foot on our throat once he bought his way into the White House to do so.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I think that it looks like that meeting is going to be on November 6th. But
we do that, and I know other unions do it as well, but at the Carpenters Union, we do that all the time because, we have a lot of money invested in publicly traded companies. We hold a lot of shares, and we will get, you know, through our corporate activism, we will have staff call in on proxy calls for shareholder votes and voice objections, and A lot of times we'll send letters to companies and say, like, hey, look, we own X millions of dollars in shares in this company, and we saw that you're building a new branch for, you know, whatever, ABC Bank, non-union. We're just wondering, would you consider giving the union contractors a shot at this? A lot of times we're able to flip work because it's right. Like, look.
Money talks.
Money talks, man. And that's, I mean, it's a good way to stay active and to secure work for your members when you're, you know, you can control the purse strings in some ways.
Yeah, I mean, I think it really is important. And I've seen a lot of examples where a company is doing something that's sort of harmful toward its workers to maximize profit. And when workers' money is a big funding source for that company, you have an ability to go in and say, don't treat the workers badly. And if you have a big enough piece of the company, they sort of have to listen.
Absolutely.
To you. So it's a great example. I mean, this is the type of thing that we do talk about. I mean, what you're talking about, Phil, with if your money is invested, you want to know where it is, and you want to know that your money is not being used to harm workers and benefit, you know, to tip the scales further against workers. So, you know, hats off. I hope it's successful. Elon is sort of, his argument is that I've done so much work and created so much value for this company, I should be paid for it. And to that, I would say, you shouldn't have worked for nothing. You know, I think you could find any first year apprentice on the street, you know, waving a flag, and they would say, yeah, don't work for nothing, dummy.
Right.
So if you decide to set up a deal where you work for nothing in the hope that you'll get $1 trillion later on, I mean, I think there's a lot of people on TikTok that's their plan is, you know, work for nothing and become a trillionaire at some point. I don't think it's going to work out.
It's not. Yeah.
Nor should it.
The odds are against you.
Yeah, I think so. Elsewhere in California, you know, we've talked over the past couple months as the NLRB, the National Labor Relations Board, doesn't have a quorum. They've eliminated some members. There have been some terms that expired. They haven't been able to refill them. So the NLRB is operating without a quorum. What does that mean? Labor laws at the federal level have no enforcement mechanism. So if a company breaks labor law, there's no consequences because of the NLRB can't function, can't issue decisions. So in response to this, a number of states like California, I think New York, have expanded their own state labor laws to cover some of this stuff. You know, usually the state labor laws only handle public employees, like who work in schools or government or, you know, just publicly funded jobs. But Correct. Some of these states have said there's a void here and workers are being exploited. So we are going to hear, you know, private labor disputes. So California has started to do that. They passed amendments to their law and they began hearing private labor disputes. And what happened? The NLRB this week sued the state of California. Now, the NLRB is a part of the federal government, which is currently shut down. So the NLRB is shut down.
They lack a quorum.
Yeah, but basically what they're saying is, we're shut down, we have no quorum, we can't protect workers, but you can't either.
But neither can you.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, this is not your job.
We don't want to cede the authority that we are not practicing right now.
Right. So at the end of the day, what does this mean? Private sector workers whose rights are being violated, whose federal rights are being violated, there's no recourse right now.
Yeah, they're in the twilight zone.
Yeah, the NLRB is saying,
Bermuda Triangle.
We handle this. We would take care of this, but we don't want to. And even if we wanted to, we can't because we're shut down, but you're trying to do it and you can't. So we're not going to do it, but you can't do it either. And what we're talking about is, you know, like people who are being underpaid, people who are being fired illegally, people who are being discriminated against at work, there's no recourse. So it's wild.
I mean, it feels like this is, you know, a cul-de-sac that might be difficult to extricate ourselves from. Like, when is this end? Because they can just keep delaying. They don't have enough members that are approved for a quorum. And now states like, okay, well, we need to do something for our workers. But they say, well, no, we're going to keep suing you because technically and by the laws of the Constitution, this is our authority to handle these private matters. Where do we go? There's no, right. This could be a delay tactic for decades to come if they want to just keep stalling on it.
Well, right. I mean, as Ken always says, if you're going to declare a part of the NLRA or the NLRB unconstitutional, just get rid of all of it.
Yes.
You know, let's start with something else. Let's go back to the Wild West of wildcat strikes and all this unpredictability. And that won't be sustainable, but we'll find our way to a different system. But I think what we're seeing, at least right now, is that it's being sort of just, it's like death by a thousand cuts. Like, you can't have protections, but you also have no opportunity to protect yourself.
Yes.
So it's, could it be intentional? I think it sure could be.
I mean, but at the same time, like, if and when they ever do have a full quorum and confirm all the board members, like, we know which way the winds are blowing. We've seen the backgrounds and the work experience of the new appointees to the board.
Right.
And they're definitely not worker friendly.
Yeah, I mean,
so
I think the best hope for workers right now who want, you know, at least fair treatment in the eyes of federal law is, if this is going down, let's just burn the whole thing down. And if I burn the whole thing down, I'm talking about a law. I'm speaking figuratively, people.
Of course.
The NLRB, NLRA, get rid of the system and let's find our way to something new. Because when workers want to go on strike, need to go on strike, are being mistreated, there has to be some sort of recourse. And I think that recourse is just being taken away right now.
Yes.
Which is, I don't know, I'm it's very, very hard to watch it happen.
Just leave it up to the states. Let's go back to that. States' rights.
Right? What are they? Isn't that like small government?
Exactly. Yeah, if Illinois, California, New York, if they want to take care of working people and make sure they have a fair shake, like, let them do it. Right? Yeah. Why are we preventing that?
Well, it's the party of small government, except when it's not.
Yeah, if you want to be a right to work state that sides with business, more power to you, but don't make that be the policy across the land.
Right, for sure. So you had in business news, you had a good one with everyone's favorite gas station, or at least what used to be everyone's favorite.
Are you familiar with Buc-ee's?
I've been.
Where are they located? There's not many in Illinois, if any.
I don't think there are any. There's Buc-ee's. Where I've gone to it is in Tennessee. I think there are a bunch of them in Texas.
Yes.
I want to say it's based in Texas.
I think it originated there.
They're building a giant one up in Wisconsin Dells, and people are so excited. And, you know, whatever. I've been to Buc-ee's, and there's like 100 gas pumps, and you can go inside and buy T-shirts with a little squirrel and, you know, wear it and show all your friends back home that you were in Tennessee. So there's a little Tennessee flex there.
You got that Texas going for flex. You. Yes.
But I don't know. I don't see what the – whatever. I'm an old grumpy guy, so I guess
I'm a Wally's man.
I've been to Wally's.
Wally's is the best.
Springfield. Wally's is great.
Yes. Wally's,
it's the same thing as Wally's, I would say.
It is.
Just a different mascot.
Wally's builds union. We support them. Stop by there on your way to Springfield.
Yeah, there's one in 55 down by Pontiac
right. Yeah.
What's their guy? Is their guy like a beaver?
I
forget what Wally's mascot is, but
I think Buc-ee's is the beaver. Wally's might be.
I thought Buc-ee was a squirrel, but who knows?
Yeah.
But what's Buc-ee's doing?
Buc-ee's,
you've got a beef with Buc-ee's.
Yeah, I got a real beef with Buc-ee's. So Buc-ee's is building what is set to be the third largest gas station in the world.
What?
Yes.
Wow.
120 pumps, I believe. $90 million project in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. Which is part of the jurisdiction of the Mid-America Carpenters Regional Council.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously massive groundbreaking, big PR push. Yay, Buc-ee's are building, we're creating these jobs. Their carpentry package is non-union. It's violating our area standards of benefits. They're bringing in workers from out of town. So for this massive project, none of those income tax dollars are staying within the Missouri, Kansas, Kansas City greater region.
Wow.
Yeah, and which is, I mean, I view as despicable. I mean, you're going to spend $90 million on this project, and you're not going to keep any of the workers, in the region and keep it in state. And so we're obviously pretty upset about this and raising awareness, and we've got a banner up there. We had some news coverage, and we're encouraging people. By the way, also, Buc-ee's got $13 million in state incentives for this project.
That's stuff that drives me insane.
That's insane. So we're like, the government, taxpayers, are supporting this project,
right,
but also not getting it on the opposite end, on the receiving end, by hiring workers that are local to this.
Yeah, we want to give you tax breaks so that you can build this and create jobs.
Yes.
And they're like, we'll take your tax dollars and we're going to give it to folks from
Texas,
somewhere else,
right? We know, and you know, we don't know for certain, but there could be some that are not from this country, and obviously going to be looking at that
certainly
as well.
Certainly not uncommon.
Certainly you know, not uncommon.
That happens, especially right. with some of these unscrupulous sort of out-of-state worker moves. There's a right. lot of folks that get on that bandwagon that might not have the proper documents on them.
Correct. Happens all the time. So, yes, we've got a campaign going, and we're encouraging people to go ahead and send an email to the leadership at Buc-ee's and say, hey, this is not right. You know, we support working people. So you can go to a website we have called shame-on.info. So shame on, but you got to have a hyphen in there, .info / Buc-ee's. And that's E-E-S, not E-Y-S.
Right.
Yes, B-U-C-E-E.
shame-on.info/Buc-ee's. This sounds like a website like Ken should have started, because Ken's always on. He's got the weekly version of Shame on You.
Yes, he was pretty good about buying up those URLs, I remember.
Well,
but we got Ken, this one, Ken.
If you're listening, Ken, even while you're gone, we are throwing the shame around.
He's so probably like looking up alternatives to buy as we speak. But yeah, so you can go that, and then you go to that, and then you can send an email directly to leadership and say, hey, come on, this is a $90 million project with incentives coming from the state. And you're not using local workers, and you're right. not paying area standards of wages. This ain't right.
Yeah, well, that definitely is worth checking out. So
yeah.
We've got to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to talk about something that happened with workers being replaced also. But instead of being replaced by workers from other states or countries, they're being replaced with robots.
Ooh.
You know. Nothing new to people who follow
my
AI.
My favorite topic.
I know it is. I'm sorry to drag you into it, but this is an interesting one that just happened this week. So we'll be back with more Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back to The Workers' Mic on 720 WGN. I'm Phil Davidson here with Ed Maher. Ed, earlier this week on Worker Wednesday,
yeah,
you did a fabulous job.
Oh, thank you.
Describing what's going on with Amazon and how they're, get this, automating more positions, taking away jobs from hardworking Americans. Give us the skinny on that, please.
Well, I appreciate that. That was a heck of an intro.
Thank you.
I did do a fabulous
job. You
did.
Always do.
There were some internal documents that leaked out of Amazon this week, and they were particularly interesting because they basically showed the strategy of rolling out robots to replace human workers in a lot of the fulfillment centers, which probably doesn't come as news generally to anyone. Like, of course, they're headed in that direction. But the numbers, there were numbers attached. Their goals for this were disclosed in the documents, which showed that in the next 18 months, they are looking to replace 160,000 human workers with robots and machines in the fulfillment centers, and in the next 7 years, that will balloon to 600,000.
And so, what's their current workforce?
I don't know exactly what the number is, but I know that their goal is within the next 7 to 10 years to replace 3/4 of their staff with robots.
3/4?
So you've got, you know, they're the second largest private employer behind Walmart.
Yep.
But they want to replace everybody with robots. And part of this that was actually really interesting was they had some guidance on the way they wanted staff to talk about it. So don't call them robots, call them cobots, because they're cooperative, you know, robots. So they work with
people. It's fine then. Never mind. Now I know it's cobots.
Don't call it AI.
I'm totally fine with it now.
Yeah,
yes.
Don't call it AI. Call it artificial intelligence. Or not. Don't call it artificial intelligence. Call it advanced technology, because it's less scary. So they know that a lot of these fulfillment centers, and this sort of goes into what we talked about with, you know, big projects where they take public dollars and the community wants jobs, wants benefit, and they get nothing for it.
Get nothing returned.
Essentially, Amazon sees that, you know, they've built these enormous fulfillment centers all over the place with the promise of jobs and economic, you know, whatever.
Right.
And in return, they get low taxes, free electricity, water, and the rates on the communities go up. So they see that, like, as we replace these workers with robots, these communities are going to be mad.
Yeah, Amazon will pit cities against each other to see who's going to give them the best tax incentives.
And it's not just Amazon. Anytime
everyone does
you
it.
Hear
right,
about
right.
like a headquarters relocation, this is what they do.
Right.
And more often than not, it doesn't
What's
turn out
for
to
us?
Be a
yeah.
great deal.
Never.
In the
end, it always. And
the
a lot of times they get the tax breaks and then they don't even build. They go somewhere else anyways.
Right.
And, like, all these towns, these states are just left holding the bag of, like, great.
For sure. So yeah. So Amazon has a plan to deal with all these angry people. And basically what they've done is they've said that they want communities with these fulfillment centers to start sponsoring Toys for Tots, start sponsoring Little League teams, start doing all these kind of little things to pretend like you're part of the community, make nice with the community.
Yeah, give a Little League team $200. That'll smooth things over. Yeah.
Right, and then when everybody, mom and dad, lose their jobs as a result of what they've done, it'll be like, oh, but they paid $500 into Toys for Tots.
Yeah, so, they did it. You know, we understand.
So do a better job, Amazon. You're wasting my time.
Exactly.
We've got to go.
Oh, no.
But we will be back next week, and I think Ken Edwards will be here.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, we miss you, Ken. But it's been a pleasure, as always, and we look forward to hearing or to talking to you again next week.
Right and here. Hearing.
Yeah.
Send absolutely. Those emails.
Send an email right here to the Workers' Mic on 720 WGN.
The preceding episode of the Workers' Mic was powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare. For additional information and podcasts of the Workers' Mic, visit WGNRadio.com.